Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yirmiyahu Perek Nun Aleph, the 51st chapter of Yirmiyahu. This is really a continuation of the last Perek, which is Yirmiyahu's words to Bavel, his words of imminent destruction to Babylon. Babylon, of course, is the, in a certain sense, antagonist. Babylon is the one who's destroying Israel, destroying the nations around. And now finally Yirmiyahu turns his attention to them, and there's a lot to say. He's spent a lot of time describing it. He adds in a few new points in this perek as he goes through. This is a very, very long perek. It's 64 psukim, the longest we've seen so far. And he carries on, Yirmiyahu carries on a few different levels. So let's examine the different sections and then get a sense of the narrative, the story that happens at the end of the perek, which pulls it all together. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns, in the words of Yirmiyahu, to Bavel and to Yoshvei Lev Kamai, the hearts of those who stand up. Ruach Mashchis is sending a destructive force against them. Lev Kamai, the hearts of those who stand up, is actually in the same gematria in the Atbash system, where you flip the Aleph with the Taf and the Beis with the Shin, the first to last and the second last to second. When you flip that, it's actually refers to the Kastin, the Chaldeans, which is integrated into Bavel. So Hashem saying, against Bavel and the Lev Kama, against the Chaldeans, I am sending this destruction, which we know to be Persia. And he talks about how ultimately all these nations are going to destroy every echelon of society. Why? In Pasuk Hei, Ki Loi Almani Yisrael V'Yehuda Me'elokov Me'Hashem Tzvakos. You know what? Because they are not separated, they are not bereft of their God, of Hashem. And what that means to say is that at heart, even as we've been rejected, so to speak, and we've been sent into exile, the Jews were not abandoned. It looked like they were abandoned. They were being punished, but that was not abandonment. And he goes on to describe in the most beautiful terms how Kois Zahav Bavel Biyad Hashem Meshakeres Kol Haaretz. So he talks about this golden cup, which is in the hands of Bavel, which makes the whole land go into drunkenness. And what the Abarbanel explains is that this is the sign of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dominance, or a nation's dominance in the world. Up till now, for the last 70 years, at the end of this period, they're going to have had world dominance, or the Middle East dominance, which is really the center of world population at this point in time, is going to be dominated by Bavel. But understand that, Bavel, you're not holding the cup. I am, says Hashem. So I'll take it and I'll give it to whoever I want. And that's how he ends the section. And he says, therefore, in this place, Hashem is going to remove us, allow us to return to Zion as he destroys the Babylonians. The next section, which moves from Yud Aleph to Yud Aleph, he talks about how, Yirmiyahu talks about inspiring the enemies against Bavel. And he uses words, Hei Hashem es ruach malchem odai, ki al Bavel mezimosol hashchisa. He's going to inspire the Medians to attack Bavel, ki nikmas Hashem, he nikmas hechaloi, because this is going to be the vengeance for God's temple. And he talks about filling the land with like locusts of those who want to loot it and take everything from it. What you see fascinating over here is that ultimately a decision which may have been a prudent decision on the hands of the Medians to rebel against the Babylonians would ultimately be would be Hashem's honor, Hashem's vengeance, which is at stake. And you think about things like this, you know, we've seen moments in history like this where you see Pearl Harbor, December 7th, when there is an attack, a completely irrational attack with the Japanese and the American forces, and that shifts the balance of power of the Allied and Axis forces in World War II. There are moments where, for whatever reason, Hashem inspires nations to do things, and there's a bigger plan that's unfolding, and that's what he says is happening as Bavel is being attacked by their own allies, the Medians. In this next section, from Tezvav to Yotes, Hashem describes how he will humble the idols of the Babylonians, right? Because Hashem says, Ose eretz bekochoi, mechin teve b'chochmasoi, v'sun oso not Hashemayim. Hashem controls everything. Heavens, earth, he created it all. Nivar kol adam midas, hovish kol tzaref mipesel, ki sheker niskoi v'lo arachbam. Hashem is going to melt all the human-made gods, because they're worth nothing. They're nothing. They're games, tatuim. They're little games that you play with. They're not the real deal. Then Hashem describes in the next section, which is a longer section, from Pasuk Chof to Lamed Beis, how really Bavel is just a war club. It's a mapetz. And he describes how you've been this sort of this club in the hands of God, that nipatzti ruusus v'rochvoy, nipatzti b'cho ish v'isha, nipatzti b'cho zaken v'nar. I've used you to batter down all of these different people and all these different societies. But v'shilamti l'bavel l'kol eishvei kastim es kol rasa v'asher asa v'tzion le'ineichem. But I'm going to take vengeance for what you did to Zion. So you did all this stuff, but ultimately I'm going to ultimately claim this from you. And there's various metaphors that he uses for this, that you're this strong mountain, you know, that seems impenetrable, but I'm going to destroy you and burn you down to the point that people aren't going to even use rocks of your mountain. And Tirasha Oretz Atochol, Ki Koma Al Bavel Machshavois Hashem Lo Sumis Eretz Bavel L'Shamam Ein Yoshev. Hashem is going to make this terrible sound and earthquake as Bavel falls apart and becomes this desolate nation. Now, in describing this, Yirmiyahu actually lets drop over here how this is going to work in terms of timeline. He says, Rots likras rots your roots. There's going to be messengers who run to you to tell you. Magid likras magid. Lakid lemelech bavel. There's going to be all these runners trying to tell the king of Babylon, Kinilkada iroi mikotze, that his city has been attacked from or captured from the side. Which seems to be that it's almost like you can imagine the king in the city being told that a breach has happened. But interestingly enough, if you look into the annals of history, if you look at Josephus as an example, Josephus describes that the end of Babel came in the following way. The king at this point in time was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar. And Belshazzar, this is the famous story. When we get to Sefer Daniel, we're going to spend a little more time with the writing on the wall, his interaction with Daniel, and the end of Belshazzar. But it seems that the description that Josephus has is that Belshazzar is killed by the Chaldeans, is killed by his own courtiers, and then Media enters the city and takes over, which implies that the king was already dead before the city was taken. Whereas Yirmiyahu seems to be saying that the city is being taken is happening while the king is around to hear it. So Abarbanel says both versions are true. It's probably what happened was that the Medians started taking the border cities, the king's informed, and while this disarray is happening, that's when he's murdered. But it's worthwhile taking a look and seeing the general scene when you go through Josephus. This is in Antiquities of the Jews, chapter 10, where he talks about the fall of the Babylonians. Then he goes into another, and Yirmiyahu goes on to describe Babylon in another few terms. He talks about it's a granary which needs threshing. It's a kegoren eish hadricha. It's a granary which needs threshing. Hashem is going to take out all the wheat and thresh it and sort of break it down. And he goes on to describe how in the following psukim, in the lamads all the way through the mems, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to really fight on our behalf. And as he destroys Bavel, He tells us, and he calls to us in Pasuk Mem Hei and says, "Tzu mitocho ami umaltu ish es nafshoi mecharon af Hashem." My people run away when Babel's being destroyed. It's almost like the episode of Lot being in Sodom, as Sodom is being turned upside down. These are the imagery of destruction, or explicitly linked to the destruction of Sodom now, as Babel's being destroyed. He sort of leave the city. Of course, this should pique our interest because Lot himself is not necessarily worthy of being saved. Maybe the Jews over here are also not necessarily worthy of being saved, but nonetheless, in the Schus Avos, in a number of the eradication of their sin because of their suffering, maybe they deserve to leave here. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says very, very clearly, "Ufen yeirach levavchem, v'siru v'ashmua nishmas ba'aretz, uvo v'ashana ashmua, v'acharo v'ashana ashmua, v'atchamos ha'aretz u'moshel al-moshel." You might be scared, you might hear what's going on, you think there's no chance, you don't have to run. You think that it's going to be all right? No. You have to get out. You have to get out because destruction is coming. And at the end of this little section in Nun Aleph, Hashem says explicitly what the problem with this whole Golus was. Boshnu, we are embarrassed. Ki shomanu cherpa, kista klima ponenu. We are covered. Our faces are shamed. Ki vo zedim al mikdashay beis Hashem, because the foreigners have come to the temple of God. What has been this terrible pain of Golus, as we've been witnessing up to this point, is that so many other cultures have set up shop on the Beis HaMikdash. And we notice this. It's not just the Muslims now who claim, status quo. Anytime a Jew, does anything around Temple Mount, it becomes a war. When the Crusaders attacked and controlled the Old City in the 1200s and 1300s, the Knights Templar set up Templum Dominicum. They had a Crusader temple on the Harabayas before it was reconstituted as a Muslim mosque. He says that that's the curse of Golis. The curse of Golis is that everybody else claims it to be their place, but ultimately it was always the place of Hashem for the Jews at that point, from time immemorial. And so therefore Hashem says, Lachen hinei yomim ba'im nu Hashem, therefore my days are going to come, before karitzi al pasileo v'kol aretzo ye'enok chalal, I'm going to destroy their idols and destroy their places of worship, which claim that they have rights to holy places, and Hashem is going to pay us back. And he says very with great finality in Pasuk Nun Zayin, v'hishkarti soreah v'chachomeah pachoiseho usagoneho v'giboreah v'yeshnu shnas olam v'lo yakitzul. I'm going to take all their leaders, and they're going to sleep eternally, never to be woken up. So obviously this is a metaphor for death, but it is interesting that as opposed to Moab, as opposed to Ammon, as opposed to some of the other nations where Hashem says that at the end of the days I'm going to bring them back, it sounds like this sleep is eternal. It sounds like they're so bad they don't even have the opportunity of afterlife. Okay, so this really takes us to Pasuk Nun Ches, which is most of the parak. And at the end of this, you might be thinking to yourself, well, when in the world did Yirmiyahu say this? I mean, Babylon is clearly the dominant power. Yirmiyahu was respected by Babylon by telling Tzidkiyahu and Yoyakim before him to submit themselves to Babel. So how in the world could Yirmiyahu get away with treachery like this by even saying this? He'd be killed if he said this under Babylonian rule, which was essentially his whole life. So the parak concludes that in the fourth year of Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, he turned to Saraya ben Neria ben Machasiah, which obviously is Baruch, who is told to take the scroll, take all these words, write down this extended description and prophecy about Babel's destruction, and write it down and go up to Babel, go northwards to Babel, and read it out there about this whole destruction. And when finished reading it, tie it to a stone, this parchment, and throw it into the press, into the Euphrates River, and it will sink. And just as that scroll sinks, so too, therefore, v'lo sakum ra'ah mibnei ha'ra'ah asher nochi mevi aleha v'ya'efu. There's no way they're going to be able to get up again after the destruction I'm talking about them, like the scroll sinks to the bottom of the river. Ad heina divrei Yirmiyahu, till now is the words of Yirmiyahu. Why is he doing this? What's the whole point of this? Famously, the Ramban in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha says, da, you should know, ki kol gzeras irin, any celestial decree, kasher yetze teitze min akoyach agzera lapoyal dimyon, when it moves from potential to actual, it can be done in an irretractable way if it's attached to an action. And the example he gives, the first example is Yirmiyahu and Baruch over here, which is where he tells him to take the sefer, which means to say that although it's true that tshuva can be done and gzeras of Hashem can be reversed, not true when an action was attached to the prophecy, and that's why Yirmiyahu is attaching an action over here to make it irreversible, the destruction of Babylon. So in a certain sense, it's the secret destruction of Babylon, because Yirmiyahu certainly is not going to tell this to other people, because that's what all the false prophets are saying. They are saying that now Babel is going to finish in the reign of Tzidkiyahu. Yirmiyahu says it's not going to be for a long time, but he needs to tell it, because that ultimately will be the truth, and there needs to be vengeance on them. What does it mean at the end? Ad heina divrei Yirmiyahu. What does it mean? These were the until he has the words of Yirmiyahu. So Barbanel suggests that the last parak, which we're going to see, which is not a tremendously long parak, which is more of a historical description of the goddess, is actually added on later on by the prophets of Anshei Knesset HaGedolah as an epilogue to Sefer Yirmiyahu, but is not actually Yirmiyahu's own words. It's the prophets a little bit later on who are concluding this description. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.